Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter.
Welcome, everyone. Of course, that was Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime. And welcome to When Pigs Fly. That was such an appropriate song. And I want to thank everybody, too. This is Andrew Fetter, of course. And, of course, I think it is. Last time I looked in the mirror. I want to thank everybody for listening in. And thank BBS Radio for putting on my show here. And, of course, all you listeners, future listeners, past listeners. This Sunday, of course, is Mother's Day, so I want to wish all your mothers, and of course Mother Earth, and grandmothers, and future mothers, and past mothers, a glorious, glorious Mother's Day, and if it wasn't for all of you, I guess we would not be here, would we? And of course, our Mother Earth, everybody forgets, that is the mother, and we have to be gracious in thanking Mother Earth. Without her, we would not be here. Absolutely, right. Now, that was a poignant song, Once in a Lifetime. It has its very unique dialogue and lyrics. And let me reiterate, you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. You may find yourself in another part of the world. You may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. You may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife, and you may ask yourself, whoa, how did I get here? Letting the days go by, letting the water hold me down, letting the days go by, water flowing underground, into the blue again after the money's gone, once in a lifetime, water flowing underground. And you may ask yourself, how do I work this? And that begs the question that's often overlooked. Or is it? We often talk about what is destined and what is choice. Some people look at prophecy and destiny as it's a thing that's locked in, nothing can change. You'll hear people like people reading the Bible and the ultra or the Quran or whatever religious dogma, and they say this is absolutely what's going to happen. There is no choice. And it begs to differ that even Einstein himself one time thought that God and the universe wasn't created by chance. And he left out the most important aspect within the universe, which is free will and choice. And why is this so important? It is very much the real catalyst. It is really the rationale of all things. Now, I'll explain to you further. But again, most, between philosophers and modern physics and past physicists and past philosophers, they often went in through the ideas of undertrying, trying to deal with this apparatus between what is destiny and what is choice. And there's been numerous even proposed experiments based upon this, even within physics. And choice is very much involved. But before I get into those aspects, I would like to look into what the aspects of prophecy, what's going to happen then, what, and then if there is no choice in the matter. Or as in some people would say, is it the chicken or the egg? Which comes first, choice or prophecy? Did we choose the prophecy to happen and the prophecy became the order? The prophecy came for what is and therefore place upon our own choices. So what is it? But when you look at a lot of things, in, let's say within the Bible itself, you'll find many, and I had a past guest, and I've had people in the past talk about biblicals in the biblical sense of passages throughout the Bible. I've made and said things as well. And of course, I've also told you things I've seen in the future. I guess some people said to me, "Is this like prophecy or something?" Because they start happening. No, things are based upon what you see at the very moment, and that's what based upon the given moment of choices that have been incurred, which I'll get into. But there are many passages that are really quite fascinating, both within the book of Isaiah and, of course, Ezekiel. And this seems to become predicated toward as if prophecy in front of our eyes is unfolding. And this is true. And it's also based upon our own interpretation, our own perspective of it. And I beg to concern the reason why is there's a famous thing coming out now, everybody's, because of what's going on in Syria. And now with the highlight of Israel knocking out several military areas, several the military center, which was trying to be a springboard for shipping, I guess, military missiles and whatnot to Hezbollah. And it made brought back in the focus of what's going on there. People forget what's going on in Syria, it seems to be. I guess if there's no oil, who cares, right? And then there's also the apologists, you know, on one side or whatever, in particular toward Assad, which I see predicated through a lot of the posts, particularly in Huffington Post. I saw a lot of people like, you know, it's sort of mind-boggling. People propose they're humanitarian, they're looking for, you know, they care about Palestinian rights, for example, a lot of them. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to the situation in Syria, they're sort of caught in a wrong weird place. Specifically on where how Israel stands. So that just shows a predication of hatred. It has nothing to do really humanitarian rights. It has to do with the underlying denomination of the underlining factor of hatred. Now, not to get off tangent here, I just wanted to get into the areas of prophecy. So, and I can go on and on about what's going on in the Middle East, but that's not what this show is about today. Isaiah 17, you can look at Isaiah 17:1. There's a famous description where it says, "The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. This is like foresold. This is based upon a lot of people who believe in literal form of the prophecies of Isaiah. This is supposed to be in the beginning. There's supposed to be three major events, of course, this being one of them. The major factor, starting with beginning of the ends of days, so to speak. You know, and everybody looks for symbols and things and stuff like that. But this is pretty interesting because, you know, obviously they're Damascus, being that it's Syria, is being under bombardment, right? So is this what's happening now or is about to happen? Or is this predicated on what? Now, there is an interesting thing, and I have to say one thing that's pretty bizarre is, and I've reread the Bible numerous times for, God, some 30, 40 years now, and in and out, both in religious sense, spiritual sense, every layer kind of thing. I'm not considered, I never would put myself as, like, I'm an expert, but I have studied through the mystics and understandings of Kabbalism within it. So I do have my nature, my perspective of it, just like everybody has their own perspective of anything. But one thing quite fascinates me, and this I brought up, we were talking with my past guest I had, Bill Koseski, and he brought up about the extraterrestrials and Ezekiel. And the reason why I bring this up is because Ezekiel is the guy, of course, if you remember, may have talked to some extraterrestrials. And I'll read you just in the beginning of Ezekiel, just to refresh your course. This is what it says, and I'm literally reading from a translation from Hebrew to English. And it says, and this is from 1:4 through 1:5 in Ezekiel, and he says, "And I look, and behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, a great cloud with a fire flashing up, so that a brightness was round about it, and out of the midst of thereof as the color of an electrum, out of the midst of the fire, and out of this mist thereof came a likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of man." So this is who Ezekiel was talking to, you know, and he got his A, but this is what's going on. Now, if you read the passages, by the way, just so you've known, I mentioned this before, in Hebrew, it's pronounced, when you say humanity, you would say Ben Adam, means literally son of Adam, actually, or in this case, they kept on Adam is a man in Hebrew, or meaning human. So it's saying son of man. And so just change that. It's really, it's talking humanity. So he's talking to Ezekiel as if he's in, to broadcast to humanity at large. So when you read it, read it. But there's some interesting passages. And I find it extremely interesting because I feel it's a poetic way of how he met with another from another world, as I said, from a spaceship. But one of the most interesting prophecies, and it starts the beginning of a lot of things, has to do with a lot of the starting things of that happens within Israel. And it says in 36:18, "Wherefore I poured out my fury upon them for the blood which they had shed upon the land, because they had defiled it with idols, and I scattered them all among all the nations. They were dispersed through the countries, according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them." So in that 36:19 is basically, amazingly, talking about the diaspora of the Jews. Now, remind you, this is written by Ezekiel during the time of Babylonian time, right? This is not Persia time. This is Babylonian time. Of course, Ezekiel is buried in Iraq. So you got to remember the time period this is happening. So it's sort of amazing where this is going on, that he dispersed and explained, he said all this stuff. That was, he was talking about that time or in future? Well, he was talking to an extraterrestrial, and I think in highlight he was talking future of these times. But we all have times of choices, and I'm going to get into that. But there, it's very amazing that these have come about. Keep an open mind, and I'll explain. Sometimes when prophecies come out, it's based upon choices that we've already made and we're heading to. It's like, if you're headed, you make a turn and you're heading up a street and you're continuing that way, hell, I can tell you, I can watch the street where you're going and tell you exactly where you're heading to. So basically that's what it was telling them. Hey, buddy, you guys are fucking up. You guys aren't keeping good. You're screwing up. So you know what's going to happen. You're going to lose your country the way you're going. Sort of like what's happening around the world. Sort of like what people are afraid of what happens in the U.S. for now. You don't be prophetic if I said to you, wow, if the U.S. goes on its course with its way, I saw this movie I was watching, a TV show, and you should really watch this on sci-fi. It's a series called Continuum. It was amazing. Like futuristic kind of U.S. Being run by the corporations. But it did, in fact, show a lot of situations almost like prophetic in a way. If you read about a lot of sci-fi books written by Gene Roddenberry, is that prophecy or things happen to come out, science fiction coming to reality? Is that prophetic? You can see where it's heading to. Was it prophetic when, the books of, from Verne and Julius Verne and all that stuff about, going to rockets going to the moon and look, behold, what we did. I mean, there's a lot of things that are amazingly written in futuristic time, and then we come to today's and we find ourselves looking at that. And then, of course, we laugh at some things like Back to the Future Now, and if you read it now, we're actually in the books in the future, but we don't have spacecraft flying around, but, we might be heading to that direction. So, anyway, getting back to this about Ezekiel, it's amazing how it starts talking about the scattering of Jews. So, makes sense, right? But then it goes into 37:11, and this talks about the rebirth of Israel. Now, this is pretty amazing. Now, there's a passage I don't want to get into, but it talks about, again, it talks about dry bones. And it talks about, it gets into where the Jews are spread apart, right, around the world. And it talks about major calamity. I mean, bury all these people, bleh, dead, crushed, killed, slaughtered. Talking about the Jews. It almost talks like a Holocaust. And then right up, and that's about around in early part of 37, later part of 36, you can read part of that. Anyway, I don't want to get into it so much because it gets very blurry, and to me it's pretty gory reading it. Anyway, but then it goes into the rebirth of Israel. Now, this is really interesting. Now, mind you, I'm going to read it actually of the translation, and I'll go back to it because of the use of Son of Man. Because he'll go in 37:11, and then he said to me, he's speaking to Ezekiel's talking about what this extraterrestrial told him. And then he said unto me, Son of Man, or humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. So what he's talking about, this is the nation of Israel. All the Jews are cut off. They don't have a country. They don't have real land. They're cut off, and now they're dead. This, after a third of their nation was wiped out. And therefore, the prophecy say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. O my people, I bring you into the land of Israel. So what happened? All of a sudden, you have this major event. And all the rebirth of Israel. And you can go on, and it tells how the replanting and regrowing, and it was desolate, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, now it also goes further, and if you go back and further, there's also warnings of Esau. Now, if you look at the lineage of the Palestinians are really originally, they're not Canaanites, they're not Philistines, even though it's amazing how they use the word Palestine, which it's no word even in Arabic. They would say Palestine. So Palestinians are really the lineage of Esau. They're actually Edomites, which is from the area of Syria up in the north there. Which is amazing when people say, "Oh, these are 1,000 years of hatred." Yeah, there is Edomite. You remember Esau, the brother of who? Jacob, Israel. Isn't this ironic? The lineage of Jacob or Israel are still having issues. And of course, older brother Esau is always jealous of younger brother Jacob or Israel. And you see what's going on, right? There's always jealousy going on. Of course, if you remember the passage, there's a famous story about when Jacob got his name Israel is when he fought against with the angels and stuff. Therefore, he called him struggling with Israel. That's the name what Israel came from, to wrestle with God. He would challenge it, basically question things. Anyway, not to get off track on that. Anyway, the Palestinians are basically a lineage of Esau, which they are Edomites. So in 35, and this is also in Ezekiel, It says, the word of God came to me, son of man, set your face against Mount Zion, prophesy against it, and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Mount Zion. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you a desolate waste. I will turn your towns into ruins and you will be desolate. Then you will know that I am Lord. And then he says, and this is by the way 35 and 5, I'm reading basically the whole thing. Because you harbored an ancient hostility, delivering the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity. Meaning, right before Israel was born, what did they do? During the calamity, which was the Holocaust, in the 1930s and 20s, what were they doing? They were constantly killing Jews, the famous pogroms in the 20s, the massacres in Jerusalem in the 20s and 30s, same thing in Hebron. I mean, the Palestinian Arabs were constantly attacking the Jews, and this is under their leader, Al-Hussein, later to be the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who was uncle of Yasser Arafat. So you see there's the link of history. Anyway, so then it says that because you were harbored in ancient hostility, delivered the Israelites over to the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time their punishment reached its climax. Therefore, as I, surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will give you over to the bloodshed, and it will pursue you. Since you did not hate bloodshed, bloodshed will pursue you. See what I'm saying? It was out of their choice. It's warning you. See, people don't realize all the prophecies, anything says in prophet, is out of choice. It gives you a choice. So he gave you a choice. Listen, if you're going to choose bloodshed against your brother, which they have, bombing, suicide, rockets, then bloodshed will pursue you. I will make Mount Zion a desolate waste and cut you from all who you come, and behold, I will fill your mountains with slain. Those who killed by the sword will fall in your hills, your valleys, and all the ravines. I will make you desolate forever. Your towns will be uninhabited. Then you will know that I am the Lord God. And so it continues. It shows how this was continuing. This is actually a culmination of almost 100 years of history, what's going on with the Arab-Palestinians toward their brothers, the Jews, or lineage of Jacob. It is continuation. It shows exactly what it says here, amazingly, exactly what's gone on with the Palestinians. It is really bizarre, okay? You read it, you tell me, it's your perspective. There's no way to get around that, but it really does say that. You just realize Edomite, Palestinian, same thing. Now, because you have said that these two nation countries will be ours, we will take possession of them. In other words, it was saying that, you know, they're originally going to be two nations, partitions, but they didn't want that. They wanted to take it all for themselves. So therefore, as I surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will treat you in accordance with your anger and jealousy. And you showed in your own hatred of them, and you're talking toward Edomites of Palestinians, hatred of them, meaning toward Jews, I'll make myself known among them and when I judge you. So therefore, they're judging. This is where a lot of neo-Christians are coming off, and they're rightly so saying, out of prophecy, they're bringing this up. So I'm just telling you what it says, and of course, you can make your own interpretation. I'm just showing you how it's being discoursed and understood. Now, amazingly, you know, this is actually found in Quran, actually, too, which is sort of weird, because in the Quran it says that Israel, the Jews are supposed to come back to Israel and have their own nation and all that, which is really strange now. You know, anyway, then you will know that I'm the Lord, have heard all the contemptible things you have said against the mountains of Israel. You said they have been laid waste and have been given over to us to devour. You boasted against me and spoke against me without straight, and I heard it. This is what the sovereign Lord says. While the earth rejoices, I will make you desolate because you rejoice with the inheritance of Israel becoming desolate. That is how I will treat you. You will be desolate, Mount Zion, you all of Adam. Then you'll know that I'm the Lord. Now, Mount Zion, go look it up. You know, Mount Zion is where? It's up in near Syria. And it's really amazing because that's actually a lot of things are happening right now up there, which is, near like, I believe, Syria area. What's going on there? I'll give you an exact location of Mount Zion. so you'll know. I'm reading actually from Wikipedia. Is Mount Zar formed the southeast border of Edom and Judah. It is also the older historical land of Egypt and Canaan. Now, where is that? Where is Mount Zar now? You're looking at almost toward heading into what is known as Gaza. So, Mount Zar is specifically known as a place that Esau made his home. It is named for the Zaire Horite, whose inhabitants the land. The children of Esau battled against the Horites, destroyed them, and so on and so on. Anyway, that is that area. So you can see that sort of like weird how history is sort of like being prophesized, right, as we speak. And then it says going into another area, and for the day of the Lord is near upon all nations, as thou hast done, and shall be done unto thee, thy dealing shall be returned upon thy own head. And then it continues on, and I'm creating on again from Ezekiel. For as ye have drunk upon my holy land, so shall all the nations drink continually. They shall drink and swallow, and shall be as though they had not been. But in Mount Zion there shall be those that escape. They shall be holy, and the house of Jacob, Israel, shall possess their possessions. So what happened? You know, they're attacking, and every time they do, Israel kept on taking the possessions. Every time they attacked Israel, Israel took back the possessions. So, like, what happened? In their name or whatever, they attacked in 48. Israel attacked on more land. Israel attacked again. They're attacked again. And they continue on losing and losing and losing and losing ground. Okay, and then it says, and the house of Jacob shall be of a fire, and the house of Joseph may be in flame, but the house of Esau for stubble. So as much as they're shooting rockets, this talks about shooting rockets, Jacob and Joseph is all Israel. You know, they're shooting, and by the way, Joseph is really more of northern Israel, is of the 10 tribes, southern Israel. So even as being shot with rockets, think about it, Hezbollah and all that. Then what happens? Israel attacks and turns it all into stubble. They kindle and devour them. They shall be. And this is just telling you if you keep on going, this is what's going to happen. This talks about the Hezbollah and the Shiites. Everybody who's in. So, I mean, think about it. It's really talking, it's not so much prophecy, it's cause and reaction. If you do something, it's out of choice. And out of the choice, what happens? There's a reaction. Often, Israel's look onto is the limpness of humanity, and that's how it's disclosed in a lot of writings in Kabbalism. It's called the Shoshana of the world. Reason why is because how we treat Israel, so will the world treat us. So it's cause and effect. So we treat Israel bad, therefore we get treated bad. And then hence look at the world, what happens. That's really where that essential things come from, our karma. Now, Obadiah is another famous prophet. I know I'm getting a lot into this biblical stuff, but I think it's important so you can see how it relates into a more political sense. And then I'm going to get more into the more, and we might, this is going to be a little bit longer than normal show, getting to the pretext of everything, how destiny and prophecy outlay. But it goes into a more general aspect, and it's, I think it's important here because of the biblical sense of what transpires about a prophecy versus choice. Now, there is a, you can look him up, there's a famous prophet, his name is Obadiah, O-B-A-D-I-A, for those who want to look it up. He was actually Edomite, he's from Esau. He's a forefront of a Palestinian Arab. And he was actually warning the Palestinians way back when about making peace with her brother Jacob. But did they? And they should have listened to him because he was warning them what would happen. And you can read his passages and see what he says, because he basically tells them, you will see in his posse, he warns them that they're going to be destroyed. And it's the way it is. All I can tell you, he actually literally warned them. You can look it up and go on and on, but I don't want to get too much caught up, like I said, but he literally warn them of that, and you can read his prophecies telling that. He basically told them, if you don't basically what I said in Ezekiel, that you don't make peace with your brother Jacob, you're basically going to get wiped out, and yada, yada. And then he said you should just worry about getting your own land, and actually the land they're talking about is in the Mizar area, which is the Gaza area. So in prophecy, the only land that Palestinians should have is sort of like a cutoff between Gaza. If you drew a circle, a real big, huge circle within that, that would be considered the area. But you can't tell people to move here and there. I'm just telling you, in general, what that was. If you're going to fight, you may end up just having that little area. Or nothing at all. But that's the way things head to if it continues on. This is, again, this is prophecy. This is what's heading. Now, if you look today, and we're looking today, it goes into Ezekiel. This is Al 38:14, and therefore the son of man, or humanity, prophecy said unto Gog. Gog, of course, is Iran. Thus said the Lord God, in the 12th that day when my people Israel dwell safely, shall thou not know it? Meaning now that he's all secured, he's pretty strong, he's got his shit together. And thou shalt come from thy place out of the uttermost of the north, thou, many peoples with thee, all of them riding horses, a great company of mighty army. Meaning a lot of army, a lot of things are going to start coming down, wanting to try to attack involuntary toward Israel. From one side, from Hezbollah, say from the Lebanon. And there was at times trying to come from, let's say, through indirection from the south, from Egypt to, you know, even slip through Jordan, wherever. But there's the main emphasis is from Gog. Okay, that's the impetus, you can see. And I shall there come against upon my people as a cloud to cover the land, and it shall be the end of days. This is where they're talking about. We head there, that there's going to be basically, well, I'll read it, and you can make your own decision. But it says, and thou shalt come from thy place out of the uttermost parts of the north, and now many peoples with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people Israel as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be the end of days. I will bring thee against my land, and that the nations know me, when I shall be the sanctified through thee, O God, before their eyes. Thus said the Lord God, art thou he of whom I spoke in old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, that the prophesied in those days for many years that it would bring thee against them. Now this is interesting, because what did he just say? He made this prophecy is like talking future, but it's talking past. So it's telling you, hey, you know all the shit I told you way back when? It's starting to come out now. Remember the prophecies way back then of Israel? Now I prophesied back in those, well, no, it's coming now. And what's happening? And it shall come to pass in that day when Magog, or Gog, shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, and my fury and Manasseh shall rise up. And of course, if you read in, Gog, Iran, gets his ass kicked. And if you can look up Gog, yes, for, again, it is pretty much laid out how it is. So what I find amazing in these scriptures, and the reason I'm again bringing up from prophecy to choice, destiny versus free will, has a lot to do. They're together. If you find the within their passages of Ezekiel, they're somehow speaking even about their passages, which I don't want to get, because I can go all day here, and I'll do my show for 3 hours, going through the entire Bible here of Ezekiel. And there's passages of the Arab Muslims who are so drunk with hatred toward Israel. In fact, it even talks of Europe, which is amazing. How people are so, Israel sucks, blah, 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 blah. And you can see it around the world. Look at the UN. How many countries don't like Israel? What's up? We got Israel by the thing. We're going to isolate Israel, blah, blah, blah. And then it's amazing. They even says that how Israel is going to be benefit, become more prosperous. They find gas, right? Now they're getting more financially better, stronger. That they're amazingly getting more economic, stronger and stronger and stronger. As much as they isolate, Israel becomes stronger. As more as they isolate, Israel becomes better. But then it says one thing that was very fascinating. It says, as the times when they become so drunken with hatred toward Israel, that their neighbors, it would be brother against brother, meaning of, and they're specifically named brother, brother of the surrounding nations of Israel. And look what's happening, Shiite versus Sunni. Look what's happening in Syria right now. What's happening in Iraq. Lebanon's a keg about to explode. You have Turkey versus Iran and Saudi Arabia versus Iran. And you have Bahrain. You have all these amazing major conflicts within between the Shiites and Sunnis. And it's brother against brother. And then, of course, it gets into areas of the calamities of Egypt. It talks about 7-year starvation and what's happening in Egypt. And you can think about this. This is by choice. You know, when they had opportunity to have democracy, a real democracy in Egypt, the people, you can't blame anybody but yourselves. The people chose a totalitarian system, a totalitarian of 51% of them voted for in Egypt being, what? Being totalitarian, not democratic, but basically running off a theocracy where Sharia is a law. And they want to believe, they want Sharia to be the law. So guess what? Which is basically a very racist, segregationist, John Crow type of system. If you're not a Muslim, you are totally a second-class citizen. You're living in a different society. You have second standards. And this is actually, by the way, most Muslim Arab countries have a Sharia law standard. If you're not Muslim, you have a second system. You have a second rule. And this is what's happening in Egypt. And look what's going on right now in Egypt. And they can't even feed themselves. People forget why there was a revolution. It was not about so much as what people thought. It was more because they don't have any food. They don't have anything to eat. It's very corrupt, and it's still corrupt. So again, you can see the things start off. Is it prophecy or is it choice? And that's my question. And people forget that these prophecies are all by choice. Even with the Bible, it shows how things weren't meant to be or cause of them. They're all by choice. It's not God made person maybe feel angry, but then it's what you choose to do with it. If you're upset, you still may come into a situation where you're on a fork in the road, and ultimately it's your choice. You know, and I'll give you an example. How what goes around comes around, the karma events. It was by Pharaoh's choice that he enslaved the Israelites, right? It was by his choice that he tried to kill wanted to kill the firstborn, so hence the Egyptian firstborn were killed, right? So basically, whether you believe in that story or not, and there is actually prudent history that shows that actually did happen now, but there's always cause effect reasons why, blah, blah, blah. You know, they did research on their gas and things like that. But anyway, the fact is it did happen. And it's all based upon what? Cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. So, and the reason why I'm bringing a lot of this up, because a lot of people have asked me, what is destiny? And now I took it from a national, global level. But you can look at micro level. Let's say you as a person. I mean, people ask me, what is destiny like meeting somebody? Yes, you're perhaps destined to meet a particular person, but it's still about choice. It's when you meet that person, what happens after that? What happened? And karma is by choice, by the way. All karma is choice. When you before you incarnate into this body, you have like a mapped out system. I remember my late teacher Janae Sinclair once said, think of your life that you patterned, you chose out, and you created this like color by number chart. You know, you paint by numbers. And you have these little numbers, and every instance you come to, it's like it's already been pre sort of like black inked out. Like you have little areas, and then you fill in the color. And then fill in the color is your choice, it's your response, it's your reaction. So let's say you chose, oh, I'm going to live with, living in a very hard urban area where it's very poor. What is your reaction? Are you going to be a gangbanger? You're going to be, or try to overcome that? If you live in an area, let's say, in a real harsh environment, what do you do? What if you were born in a really positive environment where you had everything given to you? All the money in the world. What do you do with it? You just become like a Paris Hilton and just care about yourself? Or you do go something else, opposite, Angelina Jolie, where you go out to Africa and help other nations. I mean, that's the difference. You know, if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth, because you chose that path, where do you use it? If you have money, what do you do with it? The other day I was watching a movie, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Anyway, but, and it was pretty cool. It was dealing with this whole family, and it was dealing with a lot of very wealthy people, and it was sort of a comedy. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Anyway, and it was up, they go up the Hamptons, and they're very wealthy, and, you know, and they're all caught up in their little circle and drama, in which we tend to do. But it was amazing watching all the wealth that was going around, and gee, I'm going to buy a house up here, and, you know, living very, everything is very casual, but you never saw them get into any social things. Here these people are so caught up in their little circle of their lives, they forget about the very luxury they have and not helping in any form to benefit somebody else. So there's a karma choice that's caused by that. And my teacher once said, Janice Sinclair, God bless her soul, once said that there are no victims, there's only volunteers. And she was so right. I mean, we literally, no matter how you look at it, and it may sound harsh and cold, but it is in reality what it is. We often live in these, sometimes in total denial of our choice that we made, thus we create subsequent events, yet that is by our choice. We're choosing to not go into denial. We choose to deny the choice that we have. Everything is free will. And I remember some people have asked me, well, you know, what about a rape victim or murder? You know, look at like those three girls who were kidnapped and then put in a prison. Now, it's really, really, you know, God bless their souls. And I really, you know, empathize what they went through. That's really fucked up. But here's, I'll give you a perfect example of how things, somebody says, well, wasn't it destined? Was it meant to be? Where they had to be? What was it? Karma? Is there karma? You know, some people you could say, what's karma? Maybe in a past lifetime, and I say may, maybe in a past life, because nobody actually knows, only they know, and the universe and God knows. In a past, they raped and murdered or did something else, and this is their karma, right? Possibly, right? But let's say if they came in this lifetime and they said, okay, I want to go and experience this by being captured and being brutalized and raped. And that was your choice because you came in and you chose a life pattern. Well, didn't the raper or the guy who, what's his name, Cash or whatever his name it did, let's say, was he part of, you know, meant to be or had to be that he had experience? No, he had to choose too. So he chose to be the offender, the guy who did this to them. So in other words, there's still choice. There's still free will. It's not meant, absolute meant to be. It's like if I took a bunch of billiard balls and I threw them on there, it's still a pattern set. And this is where Einstein, everything's set. And we have like a system in our universe, everything moving around in a system. But free will throws those little balls that hit and cause the reactions. That the free will, the motion, the first initiating, hitting, pushing that ball into another ball, which hits another ball. Now that ball change the direction, decides to go what direction it wants to go. So everything's by the cause and effect, creating choices. So what we have, the karma sequence of all our choices. And karma event, perhaps, like I said, the victim may have been once raped, but now is it raping or is it again still choice? You know, perhaps a person was meant to be raped or killed, but then that own person must still choose to create, to commit that act. So again, it's like shooting billiard balls. It's everything is a cause and effect reaction. Everything is about choice. Even as I read you those prophecies, it's saying, look where we're heading. Look, it's amazing why it's heading, why that is. Because look where the choices that are being made. The choices of what the Palestinians, if let's say back in 48, they agreed to a partition plan. Back in 48, no. What happened? Go in 67, when Israel won the war in 67, and initially the Israelis offered to peace, right? Act 242 was based upon, by the way, not total removal from the territories, but come to some, because there's no absolute territorial borders. There were never a determination of borders. They were only armistice lines. So they said, okay, you know what, we'll... Those were originally, when they say 67 borders, those were actually 48 borders. So 48 borders was actually armistice, where they stopped the ceasefire immediately and that became the line for that temporary period. And of course, Jordan and next to West Bank. So there were choices that were happening. And there's choices of constant through the conflict of hatred and educating kids to hate. And then there's an ensuement of what the response. I'm not saying Israeli policies are all that great, but there a lot of it more is reactionary. In fact, 80% of the actions that happen in Israel is more reaction to the response to the Arabs. I mean, look at, it was the Israelis who flew to, in the 90s, and after the Madrid conference, flew and brought Tunisia, from Tunisia, Arafat, the PLO, back into Israel. They didn't have to. They could say, screw it, we're not bringing them here. No way, no how. They let out their hand. You know, but look at that effect. Oslo, trying to make peace. Was it truly a peace between two peoples? No. One people took advantage of it, and first thing was not to have through terrorism and such. There was an outlay plan, which you can read about Clinton, offered to Arafat near 2000 to basically give up being part of Jerusalem, which is sort of unheard of, and he turned that down. So what was the reaction? All of a sudden there was another second Enpidia, and with the second Enpidia caused more bloodshed. And by all these reactions, by choices, was that destiny. And we created by their own choice. And you can look in this around the world that you live in the United States. How did we get into Iraq War? 9/11. What happened in 1990? When 9/11 happened in 2001, look at pre-America, after that, and after that. If you look how we were, what was our reaction? We gave up a lot of our rights through the patriotic, stupidly allowing your government to incarcerate you without due process, without habeas corpus, throw you in jail indefinitely without trial, call you a non-combat enemy, basically, and throw you in Gitmo, even as an American citizen. So it brings a question of those things. It's like right now with the gun rights. You know, the shootings cause reaction. Okay? These are based upon our choices, not necessarily destiny. And sometimes we make the stupidest choices. We react and we do things. And you can look at things and say, oh, these are prophetical or meant destined points, but when are they? Look at the people around you and the situations you are. You make choice. It's both part of your choices through your incarnation layout of your plan. And then your choices upon them. And those choices are upon the choices of those other people. So it's a mixture of choices. It's like choices hitting choices. And choices upon choices. Now, all those choices lead to certain things. So if everybody has a certain amount of choices, sort of pretty easy into some broad stroke to see where world events are heading toward. This is where people are saying, okay, we're heading to a new world order system, or because that's the approach of certain choices, and certain choices by people allowing it to happen, choices to implementing it. You can't blame other people if you're part of it, because it's all, everybody's making a choice. And not being ignorant means to ignore is to ignore. And so there are most people are generally are ignorant of a lot of things around them because they choose to ignore because it's a lot easier not to know. A lot of people don't even want to know about it. They're too caught up in their own individual lives, how to feed themselves, how to take care of the kids, understandably. But they forget that on the long term, it affects them. When they're 60 years old and they're barely having enough for to eat, and they don't know where they're going to have health care or they're going to have Social Security, it begs a question. Where were you when you were younger? Where were the choices you made to change things? What did you just do? You're so worried about your kids, but what world did you leave for your kids? Same thing with an environment. Same thing with everything. These things are prophetical things based upon choices. Things are destined because you made them destined. We all make our own choices. And based upon the choices, they happen. And they become the prophecies. The prophecies are not the walk-like robots. We're not robots that we just move and boom, boom, just go. And allow these things to happen. If we choose to allow these to happen, of course they will happen. But we have to choose these prophecies allow to happen. And thus they will happen. If we sit back and continue it, yes, you choose to act the way you are with your neighbor, your loved one, your brother, your sister, they will continue the course, the same thing over and over. And no matter how much technology you change things, they change. I'll give you an example. Today, right now, this instance, which I'm going to do a whole show on next week, by the way, is I'm going to talk about free energy. Today, we have free energy. We've always had it. Well, not totally free, because you have to build a machine to do it. But once it's in place, it produces on its own energy. We have this in space, in time, right now, right now. So if we had free energy implemented, what would happen around the world? What would happen about you? Would you have to fill up your car with gasoline? No. Would you worry about paying your thing? Things would be so automated, already taken care of. It'd get to the point by having free energy, things that our economy would totally change, our civilization would change. There would never be the have and have nots, because we'd all have. Basically, we'd all have. And what would happen around the world? The same thing. There wouldn't have the borders, there wouldn't be hatred, my thing here. But why is this going on? Well, it's by our choice. Our own choices are choosing this. And nothing, again, is by destined. It's all by our own choice. We may be destined to meet someone, but again, what happens when we meet them? There's certain energy about it. I mean, like I said earlier, people have had through reading stuff like, hey, I'm going to meet this love person. I see this one. Yeah, you may meet Joe Schmo. He looks like this. Maybe a soul twin. But still, there's a choice. I also explain to people, if you drew how one reads, and I'm not talking psychically reading, and foresee things, it's like drawing the circles. Time is circular. It's not linear. That's the reality. It is multidimensional. Means at the minute I'm speaking right now, our future is already happening. Based upon what? Our choice at this moment. But even by the thoughts, our thoughts, by the way, are things. Thoughts create things and they create choice. So as I think something's going to happen, therefore it's in place. This was demonstrated by the Heisenberg effect experiment. It's called the collapse of the wave function. It was determined by physicists. They took two different people, implementing their influence on a particular, they did it with a photon, influenced the photon, influenced matter by what they caused in the experiment. Thus, it was showing how our own thoughts, our own choices, influence the outcome of events, influenced by our choices, that nothing's absolute except for by our choices. Therefore, same thing as our prophecy. If you want that prophecy to be fulfilled, by thinking so, it surely will become like that. But don't forget, other people are making choices too to counter those choices. So that's why we have this conundrum of thing and cause and effect of things. Some things are going right down the line like biblical, and some things aren't. Some things people believe and some people don't. This is the issue. This is what happens even amongst ourselves today, amongst ourselves as we speak. We're constantly enclosed within our choices. We constantly think that things are destined to happen, but we don't. We are our own destiny. We are our own choices. What is choice? Choice is a direction. I'm heading toward this along the path. So I'm reading this event, like I said earlier, draw a circle, and I point in this dot, and I wish I could draw it in space and time here. But you visualize a circle, and the minute I think of something, I tell them this is what's happening. The minute they leave, that can actually change the discourse. By telling the information, it heads off things. They've changed the choices. This is why I said, wait, that didn't really happen. She says, well, you know what? Maybe it actually prevented it. Or you change your thoughts. Every moment, every second, your future changes just by your own thought patterns, with your belief systems. Not just by yours, but others. So you can believe in wanting something and something else. This is what causes a conundrum. Some things some things visually see and they come together. Because they're so destined, it doesn't matter how far left, right they go, they meet up, and that's sort of like the destiny thing. But still, that's still predicated on choices. Because somebody can go along the line and kill themselves, right? Somebody can pull them off the tidal. Somebody can jump off the bridge. Again, choice can cause a diversion of anything. Choices of our beliefs. Choices of how we divert ourselves. This is what happens. look at the choices that we make. We look at ourselves and we choose to look at ourselves as separation. We choose to be divided. We choose to have hate. Then there's choice of teaching hate. And what does this lead? What is a reaction if you teach somebody that they're different than you and you're better than them? What does it teach that I hate you? I'm going to strap a bomb and kill you to my kids, their kids, and further kids. And then the reaction of a bomb flying over to blow you up because you just sent them. What is the reaction within our own society? Black, white, green, yellow. Black, white, what happened 100 years, 200 years, who cares? There's history, but then there's choice. The hater, the hatee becomes the hater. If you look in reality, what are we really? We're nothing but energy. In reality, our souls have no mask, no color. It doesn't have a penis or vagina. It's not, a soul does not have white or black. It's not Arab or Jew. It's not Christian or Muslim or Jewish. It's a soul. And the souls have gone from one lifetime to another, all predicated upon its choices. And you choose. A child, when it's born, is not know of hate. It is taught hate. It is taught division. This is a fact. Take any kid. The reason why a child, when he's born, he carries with it a lot of experiences. So it has sort of inclinations. This is when people look at astrology and he says, well, he has tendencies. And maybe those are tendencies, but people still have free will and choice. And if the child is taught to love and cherish and look at that, then what happens? What happens? Does he become evil? No, nobody is born evil. They're taught to be evil. They're taught to hate. They're taught to divide. And the only ones who are to blame are the parents and the society around it. It's all predicated by their choice. So when you see the poverty and the wars, and you don't have this and you don't have that, there's no one to blame but yourself for the choices that you've made. It's not destiny. It's your destiny chosen by you. You alone. You individually, you in a group, you at large. It always has been, always is by, and always will be. It has always has and is and will be by choice and choices. Nothing is destined unless you choose it. This is what is meant by. Nothing is meant to happen unless you choose it. Nothing is destined unless you choose it. This is what you do when you do self-fulfilling prophecy. You choose to do this course. You choose to live by these standards. You choose to live by the way you do because of previous choices, by your choices, but not yours alone. Choices by your parents, your friends, society. It's a reaction. And the universe reacts to it. We think ourselves like our room is all like the world is square. But is it? No, it's a circle. It's an infinitely elaborate circles upon circles upon circles. Nothing is square in the universe. It is round. Things are elliptical, move around, not maybe perfect circle, but around space, time, circular. We have to change our consciousness and choose the realities. Like denying the realities of our universe, what happens? If we choose to look at ourselves like separated from each other, look at your body. If you had part of yourselves that chose to be separated, division. What would you call those cells? And they chose to live by themselves the way they truly wanted to live. Separate from the other ones. And another group separate from the other ones. And they didn't like the other ones and the other ones. Or vice versa. And you see these cells growing all over your body. And they expanded further. Well, what would it be called? We'd call it cancer. And how is these cells, let's say, within the expanded area? Cancer. So amongst our society, and this has been going for thousands of years, we've become glossy in tumors. And our tumors have grown and they affected our universe, haven't they? Our tumors have now engulfed Mother Earth to the point where Mother Earth is saying, fuck you. When people say about global warming, that we're cause of it because of maybe using petrol fuels and carbon, well, that's all bullshit. We all know that. If you know real science, it's carbon modeling is like based upon 1950, 60 science is so renovated bullshit. It's actually, there's a change of electromagnetic energies that cause and affect our weather patterns. But then you look into our thoughts, if we ourselves change and become sort of a cancerous, isn't sort of like our Earth is saying, fuck you. Maybe we'll throw a little bit of the ice age at you. Get rid of you assholes. You often watch the movie that's art amazing that we even wrote ourselves. Gives us our own in-depth prophecies about ourselves. When you see movies like the Day the Earth Stood Still, I forget what it was, Keanu Reeves, and there's an older version from, I think, the 60s or 50s. It talks about bad humanity and these aliens came to save Earth from humanity. Isn't it from us? You know, we fight amongst ourselves. We make our own illusionary, like, borders. There are no borders. We make those up. And our civilization, those aren't really reality. We made them our reality. In the concept of the universe, they're actually an illusion. They're not reality. Yet we choose to believe they're reality. That's where the problem of our soul when it gets lost at the end. We think those are real. We think images are forever spoken to. When you look at somebody to save you, whether it's a Jesus or a Magdi or Messiah or whatever, or Obama or somebody to save you, and I've talked about in the past, that's an illusional choice. It's not reality. And by doing that, you've created what, in instance, self-fulfilling prophecy where you are going to be looking constantly in the search, and guess what? You're going to get smacked in the face, cause and react. And look at all the reactions of choices of other people making. People can make choices by choosing. And choosing to deny things is a choice as well. And I'm sorry to be so candid with you about these things of destiny and choice, but I felt it was so important to understand these. So that when you read prophecy as they unfold now, read Ezekiel, for example, it is a warning where we're heading to. We can change it. The only way it changes is how we change our belief systems. Those who choose to wanting to hate Israel are going to be their own calamity because that's showing an example. It starts there. I used to say, if you want to look at everything wrong about the Middle East, about the humanity, look at the Middle East. Look how what it does to women in the Middle East. Look how it treats individuals. Look at choice about tolerance. Look at treats about each other. Everybody lives in these separate worlds. So it is like a magnifying glass showing us what is wrong. And as by showing us what is wrong, we would know how to fix these things. And it's based upon our choices to change these things. And not changing to give up our power, but embrace for who we are, to graze our consciousness, to learn to love one another for who we are. The whole element of love, the compassion that's exposed or brought up consistently by the Dalai Lama and others and through Buddhism and everything, and through Jesus and all the past theologians and whatever. The whole is really a mechanical understanding that we're truly connected to one another. We're truly the tree of life. We're leaves on a tree of life. The leaves of ourselves have different views, and yet we're connected to all the same branches, being humanity, the same common trunk, be all living and non-living things, rooted into Mother Earth, being nourished from her, which is then of a process from the universe. And we all things are based upon choice. And so with that, I want to thank you all for listening in. And next week's show, I will get into very aspects of free energy so you can learn and choose and see how the truth is that we can truly make our own choices. And the choice, hopefully, is to understand. And with that, I want to thank you all for living. And I'm going to close off with a song by Feeling Good by Nina Simone. I'm with you all. God bless you all. Have a glorious, glorious weekend. Remember, with my words, we are all one. One universe, one conscious, connected to one another, connected to God, and connected to the universe. God bless you all, and have a truly, truly glorious day and glorious weekend. Thank you. Until next week.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. Yeah, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good.